It's Edge Radio Australia. Malloy with you, ready with the gentleman himself who's got his life on track. Yeah, no, I'm looking just behind you. The guy behind you, it's George Michael. And the other guy, also known as Andrew Ridgely. We don't even want to cover that. Thanks very much. From the Peanut Gallery over there, we've got, of course, the Shave Monkey. It's Wayne Brown here, mate. Great to have you here. We are live on the radio, mate. That's the main thing here. And we're about to go live on the socials. There we go. Oh, jeez. It is just, like, honestly.
The professionalism is just astounding.
When they say, okay, don't work with children or animals, right?
Just you got both of them there.
They are. It's combined, okay? It is a shave monkey, but it's what we're doing. We are live. We're officially going. It is fantastic to be here for, of course. What's the show called, mate?
All About Relationships.
Oh, look at that. He's done that before. Hey, mate, it's been a week or maybe even longer. I'm not even sure.
No, it has been more than. It's been a fortnight.
Has been a fortnight. It's been
I wasn't in the country.
That's a good point. Yeah, I did notice your tan, mate. It's very impressive.
You were sitting there talking to an empty couch, weren't you?
Well, yeah, like
he's not talking much today.
Is he not talking to me? Hang on. Am I getting the silent treatment? What's going on, right? Hey, mate, ready to get into the show, and I'm very curious to see what the show is about today because first time we've done the show directly on the socials. You had no preparation or knowledge of that happening.
I know, like you, didn't have time to do my hair.
No, I know, but I've got a bit of fuzz going, it's just around the edges, so let's jump into the show. Now, Travis, if you want to, look at this, he's very high tech, he's moving the camera around.
We're on the move.
Definitely on the move. I'm just
Lord.
Please. All right. Well, I want to get into the show, mate. Now, we'll wait for the shave monkey to leave. Please, now would be good. What is the show subject today? What are we on about?
It is something we have discussed before.
Okay.
Or explored. And it's something that recently occurred again. I've mentioned to you and the listeners, I run some social clubs.
You do?
And my wife has a standing invitation to anything that I do.
Mm-hmm.
I know. And occasionally she'll go, yeah, I'm coming with you.
Right.
And what always amuses us is there's invariably at least one person who says, oh, she's real. Because every time I speak about her, they think I'm making her up.
Oh,
because
okay.
They don't see her. There's no evidence.
Yeah. Character in one of your little books. Gotcha.
Yeah, right, so it's hilarious. We always piss ourselves laughing. Anyway, with that, there's a lot of people that say, why doesn't she come with you? Why doesn't she do it with you? And we have discussed this before about the joint Facebook account, etc.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the – because we hear people all the time talk about work-life balance.
Mm-hmm.
But within a relationship, there's that balance as well, which you have to keep. And for me, I know that's been something that's been one of the key contributors to the success of my relationship is the fact that we have what I call an interdependent relationship.
Yep. There is a separation there.
Yeah, so – just for people that don't know the term, I'll explain using the other two.
Okay.
So you have a dependent relationship where you do everything together. That person is basically your friend circle. They're your support network. They're your everything. And that sounds nice, however, very dangerous.
I'd better say sounds like absolute warning Will Robinson to me. Like that is just, that's...
Yeah, but I've and you've met them as well, the people where they do everything together and it's just like, no.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's some people that they want to live like that and I find that that's a very dangerous thing because if you put all your eggs in one basket, if that egg goes, you're pretty well screwed.
Exactly.
Because if that person's all your support network, they're all your friendship, they're everything, you're suddenly back to ground zero and nothing to build on. So when I meet those sorts of people, it's like you need to get some hobbies separate.
I agree. And I even in forgetting about the fact of, you know, separation or a relationship ending, the other side of it is that, like, you just need your free time. Like, you need to have personal time, I think. And I get it if you've got all the same hobbies and all that kind of carry on. But at the same time, you want to spend time with your friends independently and there needs to be a level, in my opinion anyway.
No, absolutely. And you're right. And because the other side of that is the completely independent relationship.
Yeah.
Where basically you're sharing a bed and a house and that's it.
Yeah.
And the rest of the time, you know, you're working, you're not communicating to each other and inquiring about how your day's going.
Yeah.
You don't frequent the same friend circles, you have different hobbies, everything's completely separate. And that's also the same sort of scenario where if something goes wrong, where's your support network?
Yeah, yeah, true.
Because it's all, it's nice to have your friends to ask for support and encouragement and feedback, etc. You still want to be able to go home and have someone that you can get a second opinion on.
Oh, look, absolutely. And I think that those kind of relationships, in my eyes, are more like business relationships almost.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
I don't like that. I think that, you know, you want to be with someone who's going to emotionally support you. And if you haven't got that, you know, I think you're missing a huge chunk of the relationship.
Mm, absolutely. And so for myself, I was always not pushing myself on, but sort of easing myself into my partner's interests rather than chasing mine. And in fact, I was just driving in tonight and I remembered an instance from years ago with my first wife, where this is the woman that I had my two boys with, or our two boys with, and I said, oh, I'm going to go and play golf with my mate.
Yep.
And she was like, oh, but then I'm going to be left with the kids. And I'm like, well, I'll tell you what, if I go and play for, say, 5 hours, I'll come home, I'll look after them for 5 hours and you can go off and do whatever you want to do.
That's a fair
Which
deal.
To me sounds like a fair deal.
Damn right.
All right? And she said, no, because then I've still got the kids for 5 hours.
Oh, my God. The fact is you should want to have the kids for 5 hours.
I know. Anyway, so for me at that time, because I wasn't the person I am now, I went, oh, okay, I won't play golf.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem with that sort of thing is you end up with this little bit of resentment simmering under the surface. And those sorts of things, if you don't address them, can lead to big problems.
No
Obviously
question.
They did, because, you know, a few years later she said, bye. So that would move – that wasn't – what I call an interdependent relationship, but that's what I have with my wife now, which is why I said I have a standing invitation to everything I do.
Yep.
So if she wants to come along, in other words, she's not getting forced, she wants to come along, she can. And I have the same with anything she does.
Hmm.
And the other really cool thing is, and this is what a lot of people don't realise, is when you have a relationship, you might love that person deeply. You still need to have your own space.
You do.
To keep your own opinions, to explore who you are. Because I remember my second wife saying to me once, oh, you're a different person with other people. And it's like, well, no shit, Sherlock.
You know why? Because I'm happy.
Well, aside from that, she was absolutely right. And we all do it. When you're with your mates, you tend to be more of a bloke.
Yeah, of course you do.
You know, and when you're around your female friends, you tend to be a little more contemplative and engaging in conversation.
Yeah, you match the situation.
Exactly. Yeah. So we tend to do that. And so the nice thing is that gives you a chance to explore all aspects of your personality. So if I go out with my mates, we go out and we'll, you know, play golf or have some beers or do whatever we're going to do.
Right.
And when I come home, I've got things to discuss with my wife. I've got stories to tell her about.
Oh.
And they're things that probably wouldn't happen if she was there.
Oh, and hang on, I'm going to break in on this one, because then we have the magic text messages. They're the ones that drive me nuts.
Because when are you coming home?
Not even that one.
No, just the
constant updates, right? I'm a person, I don't need the updates, okay? It's not Sports Center, okay? I want to have a relationship. So when you see that person again, when you come home or whatever the situation, you're there together again, you've got something to talk about. The modern relationship at the moment, you get these constant updates of what's going on in your life, right, or the person's life.
Mm.
And then you get there and you're next to them or with them and you look at each other blankly, what have you got to talk about? Because your whole day has been documented on text.
Yeah, exactly. And if you do spend all your time together, sure, you'll get to know the person, but you don't get to know yourself.
That's so true.
And you only
so
find you when you're away from your partner.
Yep.
And I had this recently, actually. My wife and I went away and she asked me, did you enjoy yourself? I said, for the most part. And she goes, what do you mean, the most part? You know, immediately sort of, what do you mean? I thought you had fun. I said, yeah, I do. But because, and then people never believe me when I say this, I'm actually an introvert. Not a proper introvert, but I'm really close.
I know, and I was going to bring that point up, but you keep going.
So I need those moments where I can sit there and go, oh, my God, and recharge. And when we were away, it was, we've got to catch up with this person, we've got to go on this and pick that up and go see that person. And it was pretty well full on. I didn't get a lot of downtime. So when we got back, it was a decompress.
Because you love spending time with people, but at the same time.
Oh, absolutely.
Just, but if it's if it becomes like a tour, right, where you just don't get that downtime, you can't actually enjoy it because you're kind of waiting for that time to decompress, just slow things down to actually have some personal time.
Yeah. And it also gives you a chance to analyze things. So if you're always with your partner, you don't get that chance to sit there and go, hang on, when they said that, that upset me. Okay, I'm going to have to deal with that. How am I going to deal with it?
Okay.
You know, so it then gives you the chance to look at yourself and work out where you're at and to analyze how you're going in the relationship, because then you can go back in and go, I just had a thought the other day when you said X, and then you can deal with it. So that's always a good thing, be able to go and find yourself.
Fantastic. Well, mate, very good advice. What can I say?
I like to train. No,
you
do.
You hit the nail on the head. But it is so, in my opinion anyway, it's very true, because I've had many variations of the kind of relationships you're talking about, right? I've had the relationships that have been so intense and you spend every moment together and all of that. To me, it's just got disaster written all over it, really, honestly, because it might, certainly in the honeymoon period, it's awesome, right? Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, you know, you've got all this loved up energy going on. The sex is fantastic. Everything's like lighting up the Christmas tree, right? But then when you get out of the honeymoon period, you realise that, hang on, my life is just that person. I've lost my other interests. You know, my friends have kind of disappeared, right?
Yep.
Okay. It's not healthy. So, you know, to me, I think it's a good cautionary tale, quite frankly.
Yeah. And it's funny that you say the thing about you spend all your time with them and how you lost your social circle, because I remember I had that years ago when I did night shift.
Right.
Because, you know, you're working all through the night.
Yeah.
During the day, you're knackered, and you get to the weekend, you spend all that time catching up and recharging, getting yourself back to balance just to go and do it all again. Your social circle goes. So I had that, but without the partner, which was really weird. So when I finished doing the night shift, I had to go and rebuild all of that.
Okay. Yeah, okay. My advice on that one, if I can give you advice on this, is get mates who are FIFO, because their calendars are all over the place.
Or vampires.
Vampires. They're always handy. Exactly. That's exactly right. And, you know, they don't drink much either.
Yeah, well, that is true.
That's true. All right, time for a break, mate. That's what I think. Now, this is a song we've played many times on this show, and I think it's good because, quite frankly, it fits so well. It's a bit of Pat Benatar. It's Love. Guess what it is, mate?
It's a battlefield.
It's Radio Australia.
You're listening to All About Relationships on Edge Radio Australia.
Straight into that big, big kind of like John Laws almost, mate. You're channeling there. Look at that.
I'm always tempted to say, hello, can I go?
How's that, baby? All right. Well, mate, we are talking about relationships. And, they can be tough, mate. They really can. But they shouldn't be hard work. You got to work with them, but they should be easy work, right?
Exactly. It's like having a high quality car, you know, you just service it now and then, you just check your tire pressure, all of these things just to make sure it stays tip top.
Yep.
And that's what it's like with a relationship. It's these constant little tweaks and just giving attention to it and making sure it's running smoothly.
Okay.
Address any issues that come up, you know, what's that, the tap tap noise?
Yep.
You know, it's her trying to get out of the, no.
So some of my relationships would be much like, I don't know, maybe a larder that was owned by a 17-year-old boy.
Hey, don't knock the larder.
I'm not knocking the larder. I'm just saying.
Best car. Yeah,
they were fun. They were so much
fun.
I'm just saying. You know, like, there is a reason why the rear glass on a larder is heated. You know why?
Keep your hands warm when you're pushing them.
That's right. Yeah.
You've heard all the jokes.
I know you've heard them all. There you go. There you go, mate. All right. Let's get into the show. We're in segment two, Richie. And where are we going?
So a lot of people, like we were discussing, they struggle with this, doing things on their own.
Yep.
And a lot of people...
Oh, you didn't press the button, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, you did. Oh, there we go.
Oh, sorry. See, I was on it.
Oh, mate, you are on it. Sorry. My apologies.
And so a lot of people, they feel a little bit guilty doing this thing away from their partner.
Sure.
And this is also especially important for women.
Okay.
Because women, and I was listening to a podcast earlier, this lady talking about this, how women are wired to be a certain way and men are wired a particular way. And I can always explore that in a later show.
I'm sure you can.
Anyway, one thing I notice with a lot of women is the first title they give themselves is mother, as if that's their only identity. And that's always a dangerous thing. And it's like I noticed when I was first introducing my wife to people that I would go, this is my wife, Chenny. And then I was like, no, hang on. She's Chenny first. Then she's – but it's
I know where you're going.
It's one of those small things, but it can build up over time.
I've never even thought about that. That's such a good point, though.
Yeah, but I don't want people to think – that's her primary role in life. Her primary role in life is to be her, to be the best version of her. So I became very aware of she is separate to me. Yes, we're building a life together, et cetera, et cetera. We are two individuals who are creating a life together. In other words, we go off, we do our jobs, we meet up at the end, we're having dinner, we talk about our day, what we've been up to, the challenges, et cetera.
Yep.
We'll plan things for the future. We do all of those bits and pieces and we still go off and have our own identity. And if the shit hits the fan, it's a, I'm there for you.
Yep, yep.
You know, and
hugely
that's,
important.
And that's the one thing where if my wife phones me, everything else becomes secondary.
I love
like if she phones me and says, I need you to be here right now.
Oh, you drop everything.
I'm in the car almost before she's finished the sentence type thing. You know, it's one of those, you're that important to me.
Yeah, as long as the call isn't like about, oh, you know, what should we have for dinner?
No.
It's something important.
She needs my assistance, like as in she's hurt herself or something like that.
Yeah, everything. Yeah,
no absolutely. And that's the point where your partner realises their value to you, because if you don't demonstrate that, you're not showing that you're in the relationship. So you're showing that you've got an independent relationship rather than an interdependent relationship.
But surely any – I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not in other people's relationships. But, okay, if the person you love is in peril, for argument's sake, okay, then I don't see any other option. Like I wouldn't even consider any other option. I wouldn't go, you know what, I'm in the middle of something, you know.
I've met people like that.
Really?
Yeah, they'll go, look, I've got a meeting. Can you phone so-and-so instead?
Look, I was married to a sociopath and she didn't even do that. I mean, come on, really?
No, there are people that really have that balance thrown out, which is sad because down the track, as that slowly eroded, it will collapse from under them and they'll just go, what happened? Not seeing that they were contributing to it.
Do you know what? I've just had a moment. I was making the joke about the old sociopath ex-wife, right? Mm-hmm. But you know what? I just realised that when there were serious things going on in my mind, in my world, in my life, she didn't actually, you know, she didn't prioritise it. So it does tell you. And like, isn't it funny that you've got other things in your life at the time and, you know, kids and pressures and bills and yada yada and all of that, that you don't realise that someone who's supposed to be, you know, your main person, right, your main human.
That's it.
And they don't prioritise you in that way. Yeah. In time of need anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's like we've discussed before, the old red flags that you don't see.
Yeah.
You look back and you go, how could I not see that?
Oh, you feel so dumb.
Well,
I do.
You do. Well, we all go through that. It was like, how could I not see that? Mm. And even if someone points it out, you go, no. And it is that, like you said, you don't want to feel dumb.
Yeah.
And to admit it is, I've been conned.
Yep.
You know, someone pulled the old wool over my eyes and fooled me. That makes me look like a bit of an idiot. So that's the thing where a lot of people, they try to avoid that. And I think that's why sometimes a lot of people don't want to address certain things because they've got to admit at some point that they screwed up, they made a mistake.
Oh, yeah.
And that's hard.
It is. People don't want to admit that they were wrong. No way in the world. Yeah.
And if you've got a good partner, they don't sit there and beat you up as well. Because I came across a saying years ago, and I love this one.
Right.
It says, if you're always beating yourself up, the moment you come up against a real enemy, you're already outnumbered.
It's true. Yep, you're already on the
canvas,
right? When
I first heard that, I was like, holy shit, they're right.
Yeah.
So that's why you notice we've joked about this where I have avoided for years, if I make a mistake, calling myself any of the derogatory terms.
Yep.
I call myself a plonker or a peanut or a
Struggling to do this, but there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
There you
go. But that was why I did that. It acknowledged that I made a mistake, but I didn't beat myself up and put myself down, and therefore I wasn't outnumbering myself.
It's so brilliantly simple, but we just don't see that, do we?
No.
Yeah, and as human beings, we like to knock ourselves. Well, not like to, but I think it's kind of
it's a
default.
Habit.
Yeah.
We get taught it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, especially as Australians, you know, like Australians, we don't take compliments very well, particularly. No. We have an inferiority complex. You know, this is how we live our lives. So we're used to knocking ourselves. And it's something that I'll give full credit to the Americans. And my word, Americans know how to G themselves up, right? We can learn a bit there. Not quite
it's
all
a bit of give and take.
Yeah, a bit of give and take. Yeah. A little column A, a little column B. But yeah, like it would be lovely to have that positivity about yourself, because I think that if you can do that, if you can G yourself up, you're also more capable of G-ing that person up who's in your life.
Yeah, and actually it's nice that you gave that as an example, because if you're an Australian, a cliche Australian, and your partner's a cliched American, you both bring good things to the relationship.
Absolutely.
And you both bring things that you go, yeah, maybe that's not quite so good.
Yep.
And if you've got a good relationship that's got that balance, you're comfortable enough to go, you know what, you really need to stop doing that.
Yeah, but it's back to that thing of complimenting each other rather than competing, right? Like you've got very different personalities.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, yeah. So, you know, if you're an Aussie, you're looking for a Southern Belle, that's probably a great idea, right? It might just work. Who knows?
You never know. You never know. Yeah, and that is one of the things that helps keep that balance, is understanding what you each require from each other. Like with my wife, she's got her sense of direction is not strong, shall we say.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
And I do take the piss out of her to her face.
Can't imagine.
To her about this. Yeah. I know about this. And every time I have to follow it up with, you do, though, have some wonderful other traits.
No,
just sense of direction isn't one of them. So, you know, and it is one of those where we complement each other. You know, it's something where she's got a better ability, I've got the sense of direction. So it's knowing where you each fit so that your balance of relationship works.
Yin-yang, man.
Absolutely.
That's what it is, right? Look, I've always said it and I'll always say it. You know, it's about, like, you don't want to compete with your partner. You want to compliment, find someone who complements your strengths and weaknesses and that kind of thing. And I think that's, to me, that creates longevity. I mean, and where I get that from is not that I've done any great study or read any great books or whatever. Just in my life, was watching my parents. Simple as that. I thought that the two of them were different enough that, what my mum was good at, my dad was weak at, and vice versa, whatever. And I always watched that balance work really well. So in my eyes, that's what was, I suppose, I was trying to achieve.
So you've mentioned before that your parents ran a business together.
Yep.
Did they have a good working relationship?
I think so, yeah. Well, certainly seemed successful. So from a business point of view, but yes and no. Well, that, yes. But I think if I was going to be picking failings in it, I think that they had problems shutting the business bit off. I think they worked too many hours. I think that they didn't separate. Yeah, I think they let that compromise their lives.
Yep.
Right? And it's a really tough thing if you're in business. It is tough to make that draw the line, because, I've had people say to me, hey, you know what, it's 5 o'clock, it's the end of the working day. Yeah, no. Like, realistically, if you're self-employed, there's 5 hours to go, right?
Yes.
Be nice if it's only two, right? Okay, but that's the reality of it. And I think that, my parents, if I could be, critical, that would be the thing that they didn't take that time. They didn't actually separate that. So, but as far as working in conjunction, my mum knew what she was good at, dad knew what he was good at, and I think that they basically – they really did find that balance well, as far as, so if you're looking for a perfect business partner, that was what I saw growing up anyway.
Okay. Because I've met both sides of the scale, and within a relationship where you're trying to strike that balance between having your independence and being dependent on each other, being interdependent, throw working together into the mix as well, and you've got some major challenges. Like, I've met couples that work together. Like during the break, I was talking about one of my ex-bosses where him and his wife built up a business to be very successful, And they wonderfully complimented each other. They didn't try and step on each other's toes or try and be each other's boss or any of that rubbish. So they had a wonderful balance. And I've also met people that were completely the opposite, where they tried to be each other's boss, and even when they got home, they were arguing over work. They couldn't leave it at work. And so a relationship, it's challenging enough.
Mm.
But to go into business together, it's something where you really have to talk about. In fact, I was talking to a lady a while ago, and she said, yeah, when my husband and I sat down, we ran right through all the scenarios at the start. Like, so if this happens, if we need to sell it, if we need to shut it down, what's going to happen, who's doing what. So they had their whole game plan mapped out, no matter what direction it went in.
And that is so, so smart. I'm going to throw a different kind of relationship in on this one, as far as the working one. So when I was 16 years old, I started working for my dad, okay? And my dad and I got along, you know, pretty well, got to carry on, like normal teenage stuff, you know. As you can imagine, I was an absolute dream of a child to raise, right?
That would be all of us.
Yeah, of course. But I remember when my dad and I worked together, we'd get in the van and off we'd go, right? And then we would work brilliantly today. Just together, we just had just real symmetry, okay? It worked incredibly well, right? The moment we would get in the van to drive home, like, we'd make it about 30 seconds down the road and we would start bickering and fighting and arguing about things. It was kind of like, you know, the cartoon with the shepherd and all that sort of thing where they clock in and clock out.
Oh, morning, Ralph. Morning, Sam.
That's the one. It was a bit like that, but the other way around, kind of, you know? And, I found that dynamic because it was when I realised how much of my father's characteristics I had in myself, and then
a horrible realisation, that one.
You know, remember the show The Wonder Years? You know, it was at that moment, right? Whenever I had that, it was at that moment, feelings, right? I know things are going to go downhill in a hell of a hurry. But, yeah, I just found that really interesting. I mean, have you got any thoughts about that? Like, why the dynamic would work that way?
Well, it sounds like your father was able to compartmentalise and go, okay, we're out of work now.
Yep.
I'm not dealing with Aaron, my employee. I'm dealing with Aaron, my son. Now, on Saturday when you did, you know what I mean? It's that ability to switch from one to the other, which is healthy.
Right, right.
Because you don't want to be getting home and they're talking about work and you're trying to relax and decompress and all of this stuff, because then it just does your head in. And if you don't get that time, like you get up in the next and it just keeps going and builds and builds and builds, it's not going to end well for anyone.
No, that's probably what it was. I mean, as silly as it sounds, when we closed those doors and drove off, it was kind of like, okay, now it's dad and son, right?
And that's probably why it worked, because by the time you got home, you'd already vented and got everything out.
Yeah, and then we're fine.
So you go in and chill. Right. Next day, start again.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, so, Ralph.
Yeah, and that's where a healthy relationship should be like too, where one of you makes a mistake or a misjudgment or whatever, and the other one can call them on it, and then you can sort of beat it out and thrash it and discuss it and debate it and all of that, and then go, yep, done, now we can relax. And
because what are your thoughts on this? I mean, is it healthy to debate with your partner?
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. As long as you follow a few rules.
Okay. Do you have – what rules?
Okay, one, everyone's got an opinion.
Yep.
Doesn't mean it's necessarily right or wrong.
Okay. Can we share that with the internet?
I know. Because the worst thing you can ever do is go, my opinion's right.
Oh, yeah.
And it might be right in this moment. Mm. Doesn't make it right any other time.
Well.
So it's a dangerous thing to get into.
Okay.
Where if you're trying to, as you mentioned before, be competitive and get one up on your partner and all that sort of stuff – Never going to end well.
No.
And if you're going to beat up your team member, you'll turn around one day and your team member won't be there and you'll go, oh, I've got to deal with this on my own now.
Correct.
So if you want to have a good team member, you've got to treat them like a good team member. In other words, they've got an opinion. Actually, this is one I realised ages ago where, for me, this is the way I structure my relationship. And I feel it's the right way to go.
Okay.
All right. The man is the protector.
Mm-hmm.
The woman is the nurturer.
Sure.
All right. Both work to their respective roles.
Yep.
All right. In whatever manifestation that takes.
Sure.
Now, when you encounter a decision, the man will listen to the wife's opinion.
Yeah.
And he'll weigh it up on his own against his own. Okay. And he'll make a decision. We'll either go with mine or we go with yours. Now, if it succeeds and it's his, he doesn't gloat.
Okay.
Right? Doesn't go, ah, I was right.
Yeah. Well,
all right?
That's a negative reaction.
If the wife is right, mm-hmm. if she's made a good call and he's chosen to go with that,
yep.
he goes, nice choice.
Yep.
No big palaver, just acknowledges it, moves on. Now, the big thing is if it goes pear-shaped, regardless of whether it was his choice he went with or hers,
sure.
he takes responsibility.
Okay.
I'm going to deal with it.
Okay.
Because that's where I was, and this is the podcast I was listening to today mm-hmm. where this lady, she's a doctor, she was saying that women aren't genetically engineered to deal with the stress that men do, because we're the protectors. We go out and we attack the animal yep. and defend everyone, whereas the women pull back.
Yep.
So when they have to deal with the stuff we have to, they're not hormonally designed to deal with the cortisol levels and all of that.
Now, you've
sort of
just
thing.
Used these comments, which, let's be honest, like right now, every blue head.
Oh, yeah, I know. There's going to be people jumping up and down.
Losing their minds, right? But, okay, you know, you've got to be honest, okay? Men and women are different, okay?
Mm.
And we fulfill different roles. Now, in whatever relationship, you fulfill whatever role you need to fill, right? Okay?
Yep.
But there are fundamental things that are not just. They're not just an idea. They're not a social construct, okay? It's biology.
Yes. Right?
And people want to pretend that that's not true. And I think that to such a huge degree, that would be one of the fundamental things that causes more relationships to fall to bits these days.
Yeah,
than
absolutely. Yeah. So we're about to go for a song, aren't we?
We are, mate. We're a little bit over. But, Joe, you know, finish up.
Come back to it.
Inspired before when you brought us back in from the last break that, with that incredible voice,
the deep
mate.
Voice.
Yeah, damn straight. So what I've done is I've lined up a couple of beauties for us, right? It is time for a little shaft to Edge Radio Australia.
You're listening to All About Relationships on Edge Radio Australia.
Oh, my word. Jeez, mate, that went... Oh, geez, mate, I'm a very comfortable heterosexual male, but right now, oh, mate, that gave Barry White a shake. It really did. That was amazing. Jeez.
And Charles before that. Raising the bar for him or lowering the bar.
Exactly. Quite literally. All right, we're on the home straight. For the show tonight, which and for those who have been watching online, we've been experimenting with all sorts of things.
We do apologise.
Yes, we're trying not to get thrown off. That's pretty much what it comes down to. We have been muting a bit. The shaved monkey keeps sticking his head in and offering his advice. We'll call it advice. No, he really can't. Actually, one of the things we've done with the new studio, if I can just go on a little side note, is something I've always loved from studios that I've had in the past or been part of. Is an observation window so people can come up, look through the window and see what we're doing.
You can feel like you're in a zoo or something.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you're looking into the big fishbowl, right? Okay, now I forgot when we did that and we did the whole conception of it, I forgot that we had Travis. Now, if I'd thought about that, I would have blacked out everything and put locks on the doors. But he just wanders in and out like a toddler, pretty much, and pokes faces. And I think if I look over there at that glass, I'm pretty comfortable. I think he's licked it. So with that professionalism, mate, let's get back into the show.
Oh, blimey. How do I follow
that
one?
Oh, you can't.
Up?
You can't. Oh.
All right.
Unless you do the Tommy – what was it, Tommy Lee, who licked Pam Anderson's face? That was their first interaction. He walked up and licked her face. Now,
yeah, because that'll win over most women.
Isn't that gross? Well, honestly, that turns me off so much. But, okay, you know. Pam's obviously a rather interesting woman.
Thought she was a lollipop or something.
Must be.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. So let's do this, mate. We've talked about all sorts of interesting little things in this show. We've done what we do.
As we do.
Tangents left, right and set up.
So I suppose the thing that some people may be thinking about is how do I know whether or not I should be doing things with my partner or not? The main indicator is it something you're interested in?
Yep.
Will you get any satisfaction from it?
Okay.
And also, more importantly, if I'm doing that particular hobby or interest with my partner,
yep.
will we become unhealthily competitive?
Ooh.
Because I knew a couple of years ago, they were parents of a friend of mine.
Yep.
And her mum was wonderful, one of these okay. beautiful little ladies. And her husband, he must have had, I don't know, some self-esteem issues or something, because she'd say to me, oh, Wayne, look, I've got a new hobby. I've been doing X.
Yep.
And then he'd come in and go, oh, but look at mine. Mine's even better. And so everything she did, he was competing. And it was just like, it was just sad to watch, because it, you could see it stole her thunder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it also showed him up for being a bit sad.
Yeah, a bit of a jerk, full stop, yeah. quite frankly, yeah.
So that's the sort of thing where if you got, like, I love to play golf.
Yep.
All right. If I could play golf 2-3 times a week, I'd happily play golf 2-3 times a week.
Gotcha.
It's what I'm working towards. It's one of my goals.
Got to have a plan.
So I decided to take my wife to the driving range, give okay. her some lessons,
yep.
you know, teach her some basics, and let her go. So I took her to the driving range, set up some balls. She hit a few, and I'm giving her, you know, hold the club like this, swing. And then she was like, no, just leave me, I'll just practice. And by the end of it, she was actually hitting pretty good.
Cool.
So I'm thinking, do I want her out on the course competing with me? No.
What have I just done? What have I caused?
I've unleashed the animal. Right. Yeah, she debuts on the ladies PGA next week. <yeah. laughs>
From the men's tee. Okay, she's that good. Oh, man.
So, and that's one of those things where you do seriously have to ask yourself, will this cause more problems
yep.
than it might solve?
Oh, that's I'm a very competitive person. When I play sports or games, I want to win, right? There's a few exceptions. Golf, funny enough, is one of the exceptions. I don't have to win golf because I'm so crap at it. It doesn't really matter. But and I would have to ask myself if I had a partner. That's actually a good point. I went and did barefoot lawn bowls recently with my partner.
Oh, that's right. I remember
that.
Yes.
Yeah. And was losing. And I mean, I was losing badly, okay? And I really thought I would do it. I thought I'd be pretty good at it, right? I thought I'd have an
actual. It's a lot harder than it looks.
It's a lot harder than it looks. But anyway, I decide, right, okay, I'm being thrashed here and I've got to dig deep and I've got to fight back, right? And I just thought, I've just got to have it's got to be respectable, okay? And then I felt the little chip go off.
Uh-oh.
In my mind, is like, must win, must win, must win. So the red mist came down. Anyway, we kept playing and made a bit of a comeback and did take the win. And I thought to myself afterwards, was that really wise? Like, honestly, was it? And I know it wasn't, right? And I'd love to go do it again. But, yeah, that is the battle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that some things you can do, it's possible to do some sports in that without being competitive. But if you've naturally got that
competitive
vibe,
in anything.
Yeah. Yeah,
like if they want to go and learn throwing pottery and making bowls and stuff,
right.
and you're like, oh, I could do better than that, that's not going to end well
for
you.
No, it's not. No. I don't think you should be in competition with your partner, full stop. Right?
I mean, if you're going to team up and go, hey, let's make a dinner set, I'll try the plates, you try the bowls.
Right.
And then we'll do half the cups each and we'll see how we go. You know, that's the sort of thing where, you know, you're playing together and you encourage each other and that's a good thing. But competitive is never a good thing.
$20 at Kmart, just saying. Okay. Come on, mate.
It's good fun. I want to do more of
it. Yeah, really?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
is it the ghosting? Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, No one was standing – well, I don't think anyone was standing behind me.
You don't know. Oh, tell you what, how many women took up pottery after that movie? That's a long time ago.
Well, I did that, I think, before Ghost.
Okay.
I think. Anyway.
Really?
Okay. So if anyone's contemplating doing things with their partner, I do suggest having a good think.
Sure.
Is it something where – because there's some things that you'd be competitive with and other things you wouldn't. Actually, here's a really good example.
Okay.
I was listening to the previous show, driving in, as I do, and someone mentioned Pictionary.
Yes.
That is the worst game to play as a couple.
Is that right?
Every time I've been with a partner and teamed up with them against other couples, it always ends in arguments.
Is that right?
Always. Pictionary is terrible.
Ooh.
If you're going to play Pictionary, play with someone who's not your partner.
I actually played Pictionary many years ago in a group and with my best friend, and we partnered up thinking that we know each other really well. Oh, my word. Oh, did I see some ugly, okay? We just didn't get each other on that forum.
It's not a good game to play.
No.
It's fun, but it's not.
No, yeah. No. Like, I think you'd have less fights playing Trivial Pursuit, let's be honest.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah. But okay, there you go. So, look, moral of this story, mate, pick something that you can enjoy together and you don't have to have the win.
Yeah, and if you want to be competitive, be competitive with your mates.
Yeah.
Because, you know, with them, you don't have to go home to them and listen to them whinge. So, yeah, but be very selective, but aim for the interdependent relationship. That's the one that's going to give you the best balance in everything.
Thoroughly agree. Okay, and let's just sum up in very sort of exact terms, mate. What is this? The interperson. What do you call
interdependent.
It? Interdependent. So you see, I'm already screwing it up.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. The fundamental parts of that are?
So you're living together as two individuals who each have your own lives as well as your communal life.
Okay.
So you have three groups of friends. You have your mutual ones, then you have your own individual friends.
Yep.
And then when a disaster hits or some dilemma, you bandy together, you see it out, drawing in each other's strengths.
Beautiful.
And then you step back into your interdependent life. So you have this wonderful teamwork, but you're still two individuals within that team.
Oh, I love that. Okay, speaking of teamwork, you put on the old shindig, getting people together. You've done an event quite recently, I believe, which is really cool. You know, where you have dating things and all that sort of stuff. You're looking at me.
On my speed dating?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got another one coming up again.
Yeah, when's that happening?
On the 8th of.
On the 8th.
What's that? What's next month?
June. Yes, not too far away. All right, if I'm looking at the internet after I look at the stuff that I shouldn't be, how can I find you?
Wayne Brown, All About Relationships. You'll get the podcast for this show. Wayne Brown Life, Back on Track. You'll get my website and everything like that. And as an extra bonus, go waynebrown.com.au and you can join me for a very special, just for Edge listeners, course all about dealing with conflict.
Absolutely brilliant. This has been All About Relationships on Edge Radio Australia.